Right now, we're in a series called On Mission. And so we've been just talking about what does it look like to be on mission in Thunder Bay? What does it look like right now in 2018 in the city of Thunder Bay, in this community between Simpson and May Street, to be on mission for God? And so it's easy to talk about things that have happened in the past. It's easy to talk about Scripture in a way that, like, oh, look at all these incredible things God has done, and kind of get excited about that. And it is exciting to talk about the things that God's done, but I think it's more exciting to be involved in what God is doing. Like, it really is a lot more excited to be involved in the things that God is up to now. And the crazy part, and so this series that we're doing about being on mission, the crazy part is that it doesn't even make a lot of sense, but God wants you and I to be involved in the mission that he has for Thunder Bay. Like, it doesn't make a lot of sense, because if you're like me, you're like, well, there's people way more qualified. You know, I talked about that last week. Like, I can think of a ton of reasons why I'm just not qualified to do the things that God wants. But God's like, no, it's not about you. It's about you being able to just trust me and be involved in the things that I'm doing. And that's really the heart of the gospel. And so before we jump into what we're going to talk about this week, like, being on mission, really, what it means is that you and I become disciples of Christ. So we experience this life change. We experience this growth in Christ. But then we, in turn, go and make disciples of other people. We go and show people what it looks like to just live this transformed life, to live for Christ. And the reason one of the reasons I had Amanda share this morning, and she shared awesome, like a really powerful testimony, is because Amanda has been serving the Lord over the last few years, and she's not like a pastor at a church. And this ministry, actually, when I visited the East Coast back in March, I was there, and the ministry she's doing was on, I think it was on the front page of the paper or like somewhere in the newspaper, this ministry that she reaches out to girls that are caught up in prostitution. And so I was like home visiting, and I saw the paper, and I'm like, oh, that's crazy. That's super cool. Like, they were featuring this ministry that Amanda leads that just goes out and ministers to people caught up in prostitution. And I was just thinking, like, that's what it looks like to be the body of Christ. And when we talk about using our gifts for God, like, that's what it looks like. It's people that just say yes to the Lord, and you're going to have all these reasons. And you could probably talk to Amanda afterwards and ask her, like, do you think you're totally qualified for the job? Like, do you think that, like, you've got all of the skills and abilities that you need, right? And she probably will tell you, like, no. And that, I really wanted to emphasize that, because I think sometimes, especially when we come to church, there's this distraction that happens where we see people on stage and we're like, oh, those are the spiritual ones, or they're the ones that God uses. But that's not what Scripture says. Scripture doesn't say, like, well, if you really want God to use you, you got to go to Bible school for a bunch of years, and then you got to learn a whole bunch of stuff, and then God can use you. Actually, the way that the Scriptures talk about people that are pastors or in ministry is that that person's job is to build up the community of faith, to teach them how to grow in their relationship with Christ so that they can go and be witnesses for Christ, so that they can be the ones that are on mission. That's how it works, like when the body of Christ is working together. And so this week, I want to talk about everyone with a gift. And so I kind of set it up last week talking about kind of how God calls together this motley crew of people, and how we're just kind of, sometimes when we look at ourselves, we're kind of a mess, right? And I told some embarrassing stories about myself. And it was funny, because I told that story last week about my inability to fix a lawnmower. And I had a couple people come up after and, like, give me some tips. So that was really helpful. So being vulnerable sometimes is actually a good thing, because then there are people who will come up and they'll help you out when you need it, which is good. But I want to talk about this week, everybody has a gift. God has given each one of us gifts. He's given each one of us skills. He's given each one of us abilities. And his desire is for us to give those back to him and say, Lord, how do you want me to use this for you? And so I'm going to read from Romans chapter 12, and you can turn there, verses 1 through 8. And the crazy, difficult thing about getting ready to preach from a passage like this is that there's so much in there. So this is what I want you to do. Go and read Romans chapter 12 and ask the Lord to speak to you. And I would encourage you to, and I've said this before, it's really dangerous just to take a preacher's word for it. So, like, a lot of times, people that go to church don't get into reading Scripture for themselves. They don't get into asking God, like, can you speak to me through your word? you know, there's this assumption that, like, well, if I go to church, the preacher will tell me. And the danger is that preachers can get it wrong sometimes. And actually, in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul, he was preaching to this group of people, the Bereans, and every day they would go home and they would, like, research and find out, like, is what he's saying true? And that's actually a really good thing. Because if you're taking the scripture serious and you're like, okay, Lord, I want you to speak to me, I want you to challenge me, God will do that. And so I would encourage you not just to take somebody else's word for it, but if someone's speaking something that is true, it'll be confirmed in what God has revealed in his word. So I would encourage you, just be people that are reading through scripture. And as we, I'm going to read Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 8, and there's just, like, it's packed. So we're not going to spend 4 hours like we could in this. So just, yeah, go ahead and read it and ask the Lord to speak to you. But let's pray, and then I want to read these few verses. God, I just want to thank you so much for your word. And I want to thank you for how you've revealed your plan to us. God, in a lot of ways, it doesn't make any sense. And Lord, maybe there's people here in this room that are like, I'm not even sure where I stand with whether or not I fully believe in God or whether I fully believe he could even use me. And Lord, I just pray that this morning you would speak to all of us, regardless of where we're coming from. We want to hear you. We want to be challenged by you. And Lord, we want to be on mission with you as the leader. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so Romans 12. So I want to talk about the gifts, because everybody, and I want you to just be thinking as we're reading this, that everyone has a gift. And so you've got gifts, you've got abilities, and it's something that God has given to you. So verse 1, and it's up on the screen if you don't have a Bible in front of you. It says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That word's really important, as you can guess. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I'm going to come back to that later, but I just want you to notice, so that you're thinking about it, the way that Paul says this, be transformed, is kind of a weird command, isn't it? Like, just be transformed. What does that mean? Like, what's Paul actually saying there? Like, be transformed. And we're going to talk about that in a little bit. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. I don't know if you're like me with this, but, like, don't you desire to just know what God's will is? Like, I have this desire every day where it's like, I want to know what God's will actually is for my life. I want to know the things that God wants me to do, the people he wants me to be involved in, the things he wants me to jump on board with. Like, I want to know his will. And scripture tells us that we can know God's will. What a comforting thought. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it's serving, then serve. If it's teaching, then teach. If it's to encourage, then give encouragement. If it's giving, then give generously. If it's to lead, do it diligently. If it's to show mercy, do it cheerfully. So ever since I was young, I've had this, and it's neat. There's one of the things in here that Paul says is if you have a gift to encourage people, just encourage them. And so ever since I was young, I've had this gift to talk to people that are going through difficult times. And sometimes it's overwhelming. I remember being in Thailand on a mission trip, and we were just like on this bus, and we ran into some fellow North Americans. So it was always exciting if you met people that spoke English, because when you're in a place like Thailand, like, you just don't understand most of what goes on. And it's actually being in a service where you don't understand anything. Sometimes it's like really challenging. So you get around someone who speaks English, and you're like, hey, cool. And anyways, I was on this bus in Thailand, and I met these two people, and we just started talking, and they were just sharing some things. And later that night, the guy that was leading our mission trip, he was like, Nathan, you have the, and we were speaking into each other, and he's like, you have this gift of, like, just talking to people. He's like, you meet somebody, and they'll just pour out their whole life story to you. And I was like, sometimes that's a blessing, and sometimes that's a curse, like, because that's true. There's just been these times where I've met somebody brand new, and all of a sudden, they're telling me stuff that I'm like, Have you even told anybody else this, right? Like, this, sometimes it's a little bit strange. But when you think about it in the way Paul's talking about it, that's a gift that God has given that you can use to be a blessing and to point people to Christ. And so a lot of times we think of spiritual gifts as, there's certain things we think of as spiritual gifts, and we elevate them. Well, there's this. You know, Paul talked about prophesying, or he talked about tongues, or he talked about healing, or he talked about faith. And we elevate some of these spiritual gifts. But Paul, in this passage, he's like, if you have a gift of serving, just serve people. If you have a gift of encouraging people, encourage people. Like, don't elevate one over the other. All of the gifts are so vital and so important. And as we walk through this series of being on mission, like, I just have this desire for all of us together to use the gifts God's given us to be a blessing to this community and this city. Because one person's gift is not going to be enough to really show Jesus to this city. And if we think that way, then we stay kind of small-minded, right? But if we're all using our gifts for God, God will do incredible things. My son, Malachi, we were talking, we have these really cool talks, like we listen to the radio sometimes, and sometimes we listen to different radio stations, I always try to get them to, like, what's the message of what's being said in this song? Which sometimes, like, for a 10-year-old, that's a pretty deep conversation. So they're always, like, listening or whatever. And we had this huge conversation about how to live for Jesus in a world that really opposes the gospel. And I actually want my kids to think about those kinds of things. You know, Vicky and I are really cautious. We don't want to shelter our kids from the world so that when they move out, all of a sudden they're shocked at the things that are going on. We want to help guide them through it and help guide their thinking. And so anyways, Malachi and I had this cool conversation. And at the end of it, he's like, I just want to be a pastor like you. And I was like, and I pushed back on it because I was like, as a son wants to do what his dad, what he thinks his dad wants him to do. But my desire is like, and my pushback with him was like, Malachi, whatever gifts God has given you, I want you to use those for God. Like whatever things that he's put inside of you, it might be different than what he's put inside of me. You can use those for God. He's talked before about being like a police officer or being, you know, other things, like an athlete, which would be super cool because Vicky and I are like, you know, like if you're like a soccer superstar, then you can just like pay for us to stay in ministry and we won't have to worry about anything, right? And I've challenged him, like whatever gifts God has given you, we want you to use those to bring glory to God. There's not expectation on us like, well, you have to be this way. And when you read through, and Romans 12 isn't the only place where the Bible talks about spiritual gifts. There's like a bunch of different places where Scripture tells us what the spiritual gifts are. But there's this huge list of spiritual gifts. And they're all so different. And it's important that we use the gifts God's given us for Him. So this is kind of scary. I noticed that I embarrass myself a lot. That's okay. I'm going to knit. No, I'm just joking. So I made this blanket. I'm just joking. Terry made the blanket. So on the screen, I don't know if it's up there, but Psalm 139, I'm going to read this verse. It says, and this is David talking to God. He says, for you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. And so I've always thought, well, for the last quite a few years, whenever I've read that verse, I get this picture. Terry's nervous right now. Am I going to mess up her blanket? I won't. I'm going to keep the needles stay here, right? We're good? Okay, cool. Yes. So I've always had this picture, though, the way David says that, you knit me together in my mother's womb. So you see all the different colors on this blanket and the different designs, right? God, in the same way that Terry is knitting together this really pretty blanket, God knits skills and abilities into us in our mother's womb. And so whenever I've read Psalm 139 and come across that verse, it used to be, when I was younger, that was my all-time favorite Bible verse because I was like, what a cool picture. God knit me together in my mother's womb. So say you're the type of person that has an ability to encourage people. Like, God knit that together into this blanket of your life. Or if you're the type of person that loves to serve people, and maybe that's why you became, you know, somebody that's involved in the medical profession, or you like building homes, or whatever it is, God actually put those desires, those abilities inside of you. He knit you together in your mother's womb. And so these spiritual gifts that Paul's talking about, like, God knit us together that way. He intentionally made each one of us on purpose. And so, and it's vital, because a lot of times, we don't use, I'm going to put that back before I ruin it. So, also, I didn't make that, just in case somebody didn't hear me actually say that. I didn't. That was Terry. She's selling it later. But God knit us together in our mother's wombs. And so there's this really popular narrative in culture that says you need to go find yourself, or you need to go kind of figure out who you are, or kind of give yourself your own purpose, give yourself your own kind of destiny. You set your destiny. And the reason I fully disagree with that is because I'm like, but God is the one that knit me together. Like, we have this creator of the universe that was intimately involved in making you the way that he wanted you to operate. He put desire in you. He put abilities in you. He put these gifts in you. And the best way for us to live our lives is to say, God, I'm going to use these gifts. I'm going to use these abilities for your glory. I'm just going to give it back to you. That's how we figure out who we are. So to go and find our own destiny, to go create ourselves, is a really complicated thing. And if you look at the world around us and you look at the popular messages that come at us through media, there's a lot of confusion in the world right now. People trying to figure out who they are. People trying to figure out how to create their own destiny. But God says in his word that we find that in him, that he's the one who knit us together. So when we connect with this creator of the universe, he begins to reveal to us what our purpose is. Isn't that incredible? So if you're the type of person that you've always just found it easy to encourage others, or you've always found it easy just to serve others, or maybe you love to teach, or maybe you're super hospitable. That's another one of the spiritual gifts. You're just an incredibly hospitable person. Well, God did that on purpose so that you could be a part of his mission in this world, that's the way you actually will serve him. And so I just want you to be thinking about some of those things, those gifts and abilities that he's given you. And there's another, on this next slide, I've put this up before, but I was getting ready to talk about these gifts that God has given us, and I came across this again. A guy named C.T. Studd is a famous missionary. He said, only one life will soon be passed. Well, he says twill, which I don't only one life twill soon be passed. That's a word we don't use anymore. Only one life, twill or will, however you want to take it, soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. And so whatever gifts, whatever abilities God has given you, you can actually use those to serve him. But when we use those gifts to serve ourselves, I believe we get to a point in our life where we question who we are. And it's easy to get to a point where we question who we are and go through some kind of a midlife crisis and try to like, well, what is all of this about anyway? Like, what am I really living for? Am I accomplishing the things that I want to accomplish? And if you're trying to set your own destiny, you can't accomplish even the things that you want to accomplish. It's like you always come up short. But there's this peace, there's this rest that comes when you realize like who God's created you to be, and you just say, I'm going to use that to bring glory to God. I'm just going to offer this back to him. And so these two types of thinking, so there's the gifts and abilities that we use it selfishly, or we can offer those things back to God. And so that's going to be really important for a second. And so, and I was telling you earlier, like, it's kind of challenging to work through Romans chapter 12 and these eight verses, because there's so much in there. And I get caught up sometimes like, oh, I want to focus on this and I want to focus on that. I've like chosen a few things to really pinpoint on. And I want to highlight the fact that everyone has a gift. And so what do we do with the gifts God has given us? And so on the next slide, there's three things I want to do as we work through this. And so in the first two verses of Romans chapter 12, you're going to see three things that I want to highlight. And one is offer your body, the second is be transformed, and the third is know God's will. That wasn't on the slide. But those are the three things I want to kind of highlight. And so the first one, I want to read this verse again that we read earlier. It says, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. And so there's this lie that you and I are tempted to believe. And the lie is this: you don't have anything to really offer to God. You should leave that to someone else. You should leave that to the professionals. You don't have any abilities. You don't have any spiritual gifts to be able to offer to God. Well, I just want to say that is an absolute lie. And I love emphasizing how God wants to use the whole body. Because, and I've said this before, like, there's this idea that if you're really used of God, you're going to be in full-time ministry. You're going to be like a missionary overseas somewhere, or you'll be a pastor in a church, or you'll be singing on the stage. But that is so not true, and it's inconsistent with the teaching of Scripture. So God says to us, offer your bodies to me as a living sacrifice. So when I was living in Grand Manan, which is an island off the coast of New Brunswick, it's actually closer to Maine than it is to Canada. And so it's this really small island with like 2,000 people. I was lobster fishing there, and I became really good friends with this lobster fisherman. He's quite a bit older than I was. And when Vicky and I moved to Grand Manan, we were moving away from both of our parents. And so this guy and his wife became kind of like surrogate parents to us. And so it was when Esther was first born, and we used to go over there all the time and hang out for supper. And they made like really good like seafood chowder. So it, like going over there was like awesome. Seafood chowder with everything fresh in it was like really, really good. But we used to go to his house, and he was this really committed Christian. And he had two sons that are about my age that had a pretty severe drug addiction and really struggled with drugs. But he had this unshakable faith in Jesus. Like, he had this just desire to see God move and this unshakable ability to just believe God for things. And I used to see him, and he was one of the most successful lobster fishermen on the island. And he used to get up really early in the morning, because that's lobster fishermen do that. They get up at like 4, and he would just pray. And he would ask God, like, where do you want me to set my traps today? And he would seek God for who to hire and who to have on his boat. And there were so many people. There was widows, you know, women that had lost their husbands that couldn't afford to put a roof on their house, that he had paid for, you know, roofs to go on their house and done all of these incredible things. And he was this person that I believe had a gift of generosity and a gift of mercy and a gift of service. And he wasn't somebody that was in full-time ministry. I'd never seen him get up and preach. I'm sure my dad probably called him up to share his testimony randomly at times, like Amanda talked about. But he just was like, he served God in the area that he was living in. And he was an incredible blessing to the people around him. And so when Romans says to you and I to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice to God, we take our gifts, we take our abilities, and we offer it to God, this living sacrifice. And I heard somebody say once, preaching, in the Bible we read in the Old Testament about these sacrifices that the people of Israel, when they were, you know, caught up in sin, they would sacrifice an animal because of their sin. Well, this picture of you and I offering ourselves as a living sacrifice, the word living sacrifice is interesting here, because it implies like we're this living being on this altar. So we could get up and run off of it, right? Like we could get up and say, no, I changed my mind, I'm not going to do that. You know, we can run away and say, no, forget that, I'm not going to actually do the things that I know God wants me to do. But God is saying here in Romans 12, like, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. And so whatever, when I was talking about spiritual gifts earlier, when I read down through that list, my question to you is, what are the abilities and gifts that God has given you? And can you offer those to God? Can you start to come against that lie that you don't have anything to offer to the Lord? On the next slide, I just have a list. I'm not going to read all of them, but you can see them up on the screen. And I have downstairs, I have 7 or 8 sheets that have these gifts with definitions. So each spiritual gift has a little definition. And so if anybody wants one of those after, I do have 7 of those, and they're really, really great. It's a list of the gift and then the biblical definition of what that gift is. But just want to read down through a few of them. So there's administration, apostleship, craftsmanship, discernment, encouragement, evangelism, exhortation, faith, intercession, generosity, healing, helps, hospitality, interpretation. And the list goes on. There's all of these incredible gifts that God has given us. And so as you think through that, like, what my question is, what gifts and abilities has God given you? And how can you offer your body as a living sacrifice to God? Because like I said, being on mission is so much more than being a part of a church that's reaching out and kind of supporting the people that are reaching out. God wants to use all of us in the gifts and abilities he's given us to be a blessing to the community around us. And so being on mission means we are discipled to become more like Christ, and then in turn, we help disciple others. We help show people what it looks like to live for Jesus. And so how can you offer your body as a living sacrifice? The next verse, it's Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Now, it's me up on the screen, so if you don't have your Bible right open. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And so again, and I said earlier when we were reading through this, isn't that a weird thing? Like, Paul says here, be transformed. Like, how do you just go and be transformed? Like, I don't know about you, but like, when I wake up in the morning, I can't just be like, okay, be transformed, and then all of a sudden I do this like magical three-word thing, and then all of a sudden there's this transformation that happens. Like Paul is saying, be transformed, but what does he mean by that? And I looked up this word, and this word is only used 4 times in the New Testament. And I don't. And if you remember, there's a scene in the New Testament in the life of Jesus where Jesus takes 3 of his closest disciples, and he goes up on a mountain, and he's transfigured before them. Okay, so, and you might remember that. So there's this incredible mountaintop experience where Jesus is transfigured, and the writers of the Gospels, the way they describe it is like his clothes became white, whiter than any launderer could have done. Like he was just glowing with the presence of God. So he was like, there was this transformation. So the word Paul is using here in Romans chapter 12 is the same word that's being used to talk about Jesus' transfiguration. And the other place it's used, and it's on the screen, is in 2 Corinthians 3 verse 18. It says, and we all, who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. And so this transformation is a passive thing. In every case where the Bible uses this word being transformed, it's not something that you can go and work up and make this transformation happen. It's something that's done to you. And the verse I just read in Corinthians, it says, as we gaze upon the Lord, as we think about the gospel, as we think about the goodness of God, as we spend time collectively just worshiping God and just setting our minds on him, this process of transformation happens inside of you and I. It's an absolute mind shift. And so in every instance, this word, it's something that happens to you. But you and I have to willingly come before the presence of the Lord and say, Lord, just change me. Just transform me. Just use me. And so one of the biggest challenges to this is that we have this thinking about God, the gifts and the things that we want. It's like self-motivated. It's for me. So there's this temptation when we think about the spiritual gifts. And I don't know if you've thought about it this way, but I'll just be vulnerable. There's some of the spiritual gifts where I'm like, oh, I just wish I had that because it would make me a better Christian. Or maybe there's more like applause for that thing. And that's a selfish motivation. I want to point out really quickly that in every instance, so in 1 Corinthians 12, in Ephesians 4, and Romans 12, those are the 3 places in Scripture in the New Testament that talk about God's, the spiritual gifts that he gives us. And they're up on the screen. But in every single instance, those gifts are given for the benefit of others. So the spiritual gifts that God gives us is not for you and I. It's not so that we can feel like this superstar Christian or we get to be this, you know, huge, holy, amazing person that everybody looks at. It's for the benefit of other people. God wants to use it for that. And so I want to give you a little illustration. So on the next slide, so this is a picture of me fishing. So we went to Martin Falls last week, and it was a really awesome time. And so there's this picture. And I really, again, like, I sometimes tell embarrassing stories of myself. Like, I just want to be really, like, a man's man. So last week I told the story about, like, the lawnmower thing, and I couldn't even fix a lawnmower. And, like, with fishing, like, I wish I could go out and, like, just cast the reel and, like, fish would come in like crazy, like, you hear stories about. Like, so this is this cool picture of me fishing. And the next picture on the slide, you see how on the rod it kind of looks like, well, I wasn't catching any fish. I got my line snagged on a rock, and I was like, I got to get a picture of that. Because then, like, it's going to look like I got a fish, right? And so I'm like, I hauled on the rod, and I took a picture. And so it looks awesome, right? Like, I look like a legit fisherman. And I was thinking about this and how, like, sometimes we try to put things on because we're like, I feel like I should be this. It's like what I said earlier with Malachi when he said, Dad, I want to be a pastor. Well, in some ways, he wants to please me as his father. He wants me to say, Malachi, I'm just so proud of you. I think that you're awesome. And so he might try to put on something that's not real to who he is because of the prestige that comes along with it, because of the appeal that comes along with that. And what my challenge is to you is that don't feel any urge to put something on that's not actually who you are. Like, God has uniquely made you the way he made you on purpose. He's uniquely given you the gifts and abilities that he's given you on purpose. You know, there's a guy that was mentor. He was a mentor to me when I was on a mission trip. He's in his 70s now, but he was in his late 60s, and he was just like incredibly mechanically inclined. And I was so jealous of it because he was able to serve people in such awesome ways. Like people that, you know, their car was broken down and it was like a widow or somebody in need, and he's able to serve them, and it's a way to give testimony to Jesus. And I remember, like, I used to think, like, I wish I could just download his brain into mine. Like, I wish that I didn't have to learn all of the things that he learned, like, took years and years and years to learn, that I could just, like, do the things that he did. But I started realizing, like, we do this, and I don't know why, but we look at the things other people have, and we assume they're better than the things we have. And we look at the way other people use their gifts, and we think, well, if I was like that, I would be more spiritual. And this whole idea of being transformed, the more we look at Christ, the way it's talking about here in Scripture, the more that we fix our gaze on him and who he is, we'll become at peace and rest with who God's made us to be. And you don't have to try to be someone else. And I would encourage you, if you've elevated certain spiritual gifts over the others and like, well, if I could just have that, or if I could walk in this one, like, evaluate what has God given you, and are you offering that to him? And allow him to transform your mind. Allow him to make you more like him. And the only one that has done that perfectly is Jesus. Like, Jesus is the only one that walked in that perfectly. And so if you feel like, oh, I've messed up in the past, I've fallen short, I've compared myself to other people, or I've buried my gift, I haven't used it for God, and I've just kind of been self-focused and self-motivated, there's hope. Because of what Jesus has done, when we accept Christ, when we say, Jesus, I believe that what you did was for me, that you died on the cross for me, you rose again. When God looks at you and I, he sees Jesus, if we accept him. Like, that's what Jesus' sacrifice means. And so it starts today. If God is like, if there's some things stirring up in you and you're realizing, you know, some of these gifts that God has given you that have been maybe laying dormant, I would encourage you to just start thinking about those things differently and saying, Lord, how can I offer those things back to you? How can I use my gifts to serve you and just wholeheartedly dive in? And don't be like me and try to fake that you've caught a fish. But there is hope, okay? So, like, that's just a silly illustration. We are going back to Martin Falls. And Dion, the guy that took us out, he commented, I posted a picture on Facebook of me fishing, and he commented that, like, I'll have a chance next time. So I was like, hey, there's hope. Maybe I will catch this walleye. And you know what's annoying? Gene didn't even try. So Gene was in the boat. I just got to, like, this isn't to do with anything, but, like, Gene, at one point, left his rod just, like, hanging off the boat, and he was just, like, sitting there chilling or whatever, and a fish came and jumped and, like, was on the line, and he was, like, pulling it in. He's like, I think it's there. And I'm like, what is it? Like, so anyway, some people are just blessed, okay? And you got to love people like that are just blessed. And so the next, in chapter 12, verse 2b, the second part of this, it says, then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. And so the three things I want to emphasize were that to offer your body as a living sacrifice, to be transformed, and then Scripture says you'll know God's will. And here's where I really want to land with the gifts. Every one of you has a gift and has abilities that God has given you. And as you offer those things to God, his will becomes more clear. And God will use your abilities, your gifts, to lead you and guide you and show you what he wants you involved in, the things he wants you to do and say yes to. And so knowing God's will, the part of the process is understanding the way that he's made you and just saying, okay, Lord, I'm not going to have a self-focus anymore. I'm going to offer these things back to you. I'm going to allow you to minister through me. And we offer them back to God. Now, there's a difference. I just want to do this before I come to a close. God's given each one of us abilities and skills. And we can use those things whether we're a Christian or not. And so God has uniquely made each person in his image, and we can use those gifts how we want because we've got this free will or these abilities, right? But when we say yes to Jesus and we invite him in and we ask the Holy Spirit to lead and guide our lives, he uses those gifts and abilities, those spiritual gifts, to show people who he is, to show people his goodness. And so, I believe, I've seen people that are incredible at business or incredible at teaching and communicating that are not Christians, and I really believe that if they were to surrender their lives to Christ, that they would recognize what their spiritual gifts are, and God would use those gifts and abilities to bring glory to himself. And so there is a difference, and I would encourage you, if God's stirring some things up in you, to surrender those things to God and say, God, just fill me with your spirit and help me to use these things for you. And I want to just share a little bit in closing. I'm going to have Tyler and the team come up and do a song in a minute. But I said earlier about our life groups and where I see us headed, and the reason that we did this series about being on mission is because I really believe as a community and as a church, like, we're on mission in this community and in this city. And God wants to use us to reach this community and this city at large. And we're going to see growth happen. We're going to see people come to know Christ. We're going to see God do some amazing things. But it's going to take all of us using our gifts and our abilities together. And I just want to give you a little teaser for what I think the Lord's leading us into as far as life groups. We've been talking about this as a leadership team, and I'm really excited about it. But when we relaunch life groups in the fall, what we want to do is we want to emphasize these midweek life groups as being kind of the life of the church, the vehicle for discipleship. And so in each month, there's typically 4 weeks, sometimes five. But what we want to do is we want to take a couple of those weeks and study through Scripture together. So not just one person teaching everybody, but really getting into Scripture together, wrestling with the implications, praying for each other. And then on one of those other weeks, what we really want to do is as a group, so life groups are going to be 8 to 10 people, we're going to go somewhere in the city and do some kind of an outreach, whether it's making sandwiches at Shelter House, or it's out walking with the Bear Clan Patrol, or it's serving by volunteering at the hospital somewhere. But together, as a community, once a month, we're saying, okay, we're going to go, and we're just going to serve the community somewhere. And it's a safe place. If you're somebody that's like, I'm really scared of that, I would never do that, there's this incredible joy that happens when we do those things together. And then on the next one, we want to do what's called a love feast, which in Scripture, when the disciples got together and took communion with Jesus, they did it around a meal. And we want to do that as a life group so that we're growing in our relationship with Christ together. We're partaking in communion together and growing in understanding of what Jesus' death and resurrection means together. And so we're excited what that's going to look like in the fall, because we really want to plan for God to move in powerful ways. We really believe we're going to see more people coming to know Christ, and it's going to take all of us working together to using our gifts to show this community and this city what it looks like to live for Jesus. And so we're excited with that. And again, this summer we have some outreach events coming up that we had up on the screen last week, and just stay in touch with that. But the reason I wanted to share that at the end of this is because I believe God is challenging us, and I don't even want to just say some of you, but just us as a community, to really just say yes to him. And I really believe that moving forward, we're going to get to see what it looks like to prayerfully pursue God's will for being on mission here in this community and in this city. And it's exciting to think about what that is going to mean, what that's going to look like. And so as you wrestle through this, and maybe God was speaking to you this week about some of these gifts, I would just encourage you to begin offering those things to God. And even as we sing this song and worship, just to make a willful decision to say, Lord, I today am going to start saying yes to you. I'm going to start saying yes to using these gifts and abilities for you. And watch how the Lord will use you. Let's pray. God, I just want to thank you so much for who you are. And Lord, for the challenge that you give us in Scripture. Lord, it's so clear that you want us to be involved in your plan to reach this world. And Lord, sometimes it's hard to even know what that looks like, and it's intimidating because we see our weaknesses. But God, we know that you are all powerful. And Lord, I just specifically want to pray for maybe some people this morning that are being challenged with some of the things that you've enabled them to do, but maybe have not been doing those things. And God, I just pray that you would give us as a group of people a boldness to say yes to you, a courage to just be on mission with you, a courage to say, whatever it looks like for me to walk in obedience to God, I'm just all in. And Lord, I pray that we would just, even as we go from this place, have a sense of your peace, a sense of your presence, and your love. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name.